Blog Talk Radio.
Hello out there in the blog talk of spirit. Welcome back to the episode of Soul Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Michael Brazel, and here we are once again. Another lovely episode. I hope you all are doing amazing. Hope everything is going well. And we are getting ready to jump into the next part of the holiday season, so I hope you're all ready for that. Be sure you know, if you want to interact with me in the live chat is always open about 15 minutes before the show goes live, so you can settle in and get your questions in if you have questions. Tonight we're going to be talking about yoga and all things yoga, because yoga is one of my favorite topics to talk about, because it's something that I just love doing, and I'm really getting myself back into my own personal practice in a much different way. And I'll talk a little bit about that process, because I think, you know, we have this assumption that, you know, those of us who are yoga instructors just kind of, you know, just do this stuff with ease. But I think those of us who do this work do so through a space of deep challenge more often than not, because it requires a lot of work to stay committed to a personal practice in the space of teaching other people and doing those kinds of things. So we're talking a little about yoga, what yoga is and what yoga can be. I don't like talking about what yoga isn't, because I think, you know, there is a lot of room for yoga to continue expanding in its very, you know, these very powerful directions that it's going in. So, you know, I think it's important for us to continue allowing yoga to do that expansion. So I don't think that stuff necessarily isn't yoga, but, you know, it's getting kind of crazy out there. So I think it's time to start looking at what is yoga for you. And that's going to be where you start to define your practice and you start to commit to your practice in new and more expansive ways. But we have to have these dialogues about what yoga is. So tonight we're going to be talking about yoga. And then we'll see. We'll get to some calls. Usually later in the show, we're going to be doing shorter shows moving forward, just because we haven't been getting a lot of callers calling in. And usually people are only calling in towards the very end of the show. So, you know, we may still do the free readings on the air. We may do them every so often. So I don't want to be like, I think it's just cheesy sometimes when we do like, free readings, and I see the free reading things come up, but I don't want that to be the reason why people tune into the show. I want this to be a place where we come and we grow and we learn together. I don't want this to just be a place where we call in and, you call in for the free stuff. I don't mind that people do, but I want it to be more than that. Because I think that this is a place that we can really grow in and grow through and expand in our understanding of how we connect and commit, but also how we grow together. And yes, we can do that through the space of doing on-air readings, but even those are very short. So I encourage people when they do call in, if you want to get more information, to be sure you follow up with me. You can always, schedule a session with me. And the links and everything, so our usual intros. So to get in touch with me, you can contact me at michael@michaelbrazel.com. My website is michaelbrazel.com. And if you want to make a donation to help keep the show up and running, please go to my services page. At the very bottom of the page, there is a link to make donations. And they're always appreciated because it does help fund these kind of things. These things cost money. They're not free for me to do. It's free for you to listen, but it isn't free for me to do these things. And this is why we go on hiatus a lot of times, because I have to put money where I feel it's going to be of best use so that we can be of best service. And I host a lot of meetup groups and those kinds of things, and that all costs money. So I always, appreciate when people do make donations because it does help out. It does go to help keep these things up and running. So when you do get a reading from me, that money goes right back into creating projects like this so we can continue connecting, expanding our awareness, and committing to our personal soul path and growth. And I think it's important that we do that work together. It's nice to have a sacred space you can show up to every week, and just kind of share and meditate and talk about things like yoga or consciousness expansion or Reiki or all the different things we talked about in the show. And we have over 300 episodes now, so we have lots and lots and lots of stuff that you can go back, listen to the archives. We have so much. We have a lot of really great guests coming on. I have a couple teachers of intuition. One's coming on. My teacher, Susan Zumo, will be on Monday with me at 9 p.m. We'll be on for about an hour and a half. We're going to be talking about forgiveness. And Susan's going to be teaching us a proven technique to help enter into deeper spaces of forgiveness. So I'm excited to learn that technique and to talk to her because she always has some really great insights on these kinds of things. Forgiveness is one of those things that it's so important. And we don't often talk about it enough. So I want to be sure that we can do that work together because forgiveness has the power to set us free. So we want to be sure that we are taking on new processes and learning about forgiveness at every turn, at every possible opportunity. We want to do that work. And I have our Mux Hubbard coming on December 2nd with me, and that's going to be phenomenal. She's a really wonderful lady, and I love her work, and she's been doing this work for a very long time. So I'm excited to see what she has to share with us. And I'm reading her new book. I'm reading a lot of stuff these days. I feel like I'm always reading. So, I take breaks every so often to do yoga and those kinds of things. So, getting into our topic tonight, we're going to talk about yoga. But first, as always, we're going to start with the light affirmation. If you know it, say along with me. If you don't, it's always in the show notes. It's the I Am the Light affirmation given to us by Consuela C. Newton in 1986. And let's just take a few breaths together and then I'll begin the affirmation. We always say it three times through, so feel free to say it with me all three times, or just sit and listen and let the words move through your body as they will. And let's just come into the breath together for a moment, inhaling and exhaling, and just arriving together in this moment, in this breath, showing up in whatever way feels best for you. And I'll now begin the light affirmation. I am the light. The light is within me. The light moves throughout me. The light surrounds me. The light protects me. I am the light. I am the light. The light is within me. The light moves throughout me. The light surrounds me. The light protects me. I am the light. I am the light. The light is within me. The light moves throughout me. The light surrounds me. The light protects me. I am the light. And there it is. And so you are. And so here we are together once again. So yoga, I didn't begin my journey as a seeker looking for yoga. Yoga found me, and it found me by accident. I had never had any inclination to do yoga. It never even popped up on my radar as something that I may even want to do. So it's one of those things that, you know, when they say that when the student is ready, the teacher will come forward. And for me, yoga has been this very powerful teacher. It's been a blessing to have this powerful tool of transformation. But it's also brought up a lot of stuff that's required a lot of deep work, and it continues to be that teacher. And teachers don't always come in with kindness. Sometimes teachers come in to really shake things up for you. And that's what yoga did for me initially. I'd started on the spiritual journey, and I was teaching all kinds of classes like boot camp and kickboxing and cycling and these other high-impact fitness classes. And a friend of mine was teaching a yoga instructor training program. He asked if I wanted to take the course. And it would be for free because he didn't have any guys in the class, and he wanted to kind of balance out the space with some masculine energy. So he invited me to come in. And I said, sure, why not? So I took the course and ended up falling in love with yoga. And then here I am, you know, almost 10 years later, still teaching, exploring, and diving into the practice of yoga. I think yoga, you know, in a lot of ways, here, you know, when we really get into the practice of it, too often do we see it devoid of all that spiritual juice that, and I think we're seeing more of a rebalancing of that. But for a long time, yoga was just something people were using to get fit. And it does that, absolutely. The asana work, the posture work, absolutely helps to improve flexibility, increase endurance. And now as they're testing it to see how it affects our cardiovascular system, it has the ability to impact us on all these various physical fronts. But it also has the ability to open us up to a deeper sense of spirituality. Yoga means union. The definition that I prefer is integration, because with yoga, we are actually integrating. We are rebalancing ourselves through the process of just doing the work. And that work comes through breathing. Well, first showing up. You first have to show up to your practice. After showing up, breathing. And after breathing, movement. And after movement, presence. And, you know, there's more. But that's where we start, by showing up. And the process of showing up isn't an easy one. There's fear in showing up, because when we show up, it means we have to change. And it may mean you have to let go of your victimhood. It may mean you have to let go of the idea that you're not good enough. It may be that you have to let go of the idea that the body you're in has limitations. It may be that you have to let go of the idea that there is more to life than what you've been doing. Because yoga has the ability to take us to the edges of our experience. And a lot of our, you know, our psychological edges we also hold in the body. So it's important to do the work on the body to help access those emotions and things that, you know, sometimes get trapped in there. We hold sadness and grief and fear in our bodies. And yoga has this unique ability to take us into the emotional body as it moves through this place of physicality. And yoga is the breath. Yoga is the movement of the breath through the body and the body through the space that you're in a very intentional way. So we're moving with intention with yoga, because the very fact you showed up to a yoga class or you showed up to your own mat for practice, you're moving through a place of intention. And as you show up to intentionality, your work becomes an expression of that intention. So it's very important to do the practice and to treat it as something that's sacred, because yoga is a very sacred thing. It's, you know, I always tell my students, this isn't yoga church. So I want my students to laugh and to cuss and to fall and to have a good time. But yoga essentially is a spiritual practice. It is a body practice, and yes, we do it in gyms, but it is also a highly spiritually charged practice. It has the ability to awaken Kundalini Shakti. It has the ability to take you into deep states of meditation. It has the ability to open your awareness and consciousness. It has the ability to create paranormal experience within the body. You know, it does these things. You're able to open and access your own intuitive self through using the body. And yoga is one of those tools that lets you use the body, as it creates this beautiful conduit of connection that allows you to move energy, to clear the path so that you can have higher access to your higher sense perception. Because the body is also how the intuition speaks to us. And when the body is clear and the body's aligned, all the other stuff lines up also. So when you do alignment work in yoga, when you're really lining up the body, you're taking the muscles and you're putting them back where they belong, and you're putting the joints back where they belong, and you're opening and expanding and detoxing through movement and sweating and breathing, you're clearing channels in the body for deeper communication to your higher self. For creating deeper communication with those you're sharing space with, to create a deeper intimacy with life itself. Because one of the things we forget to do, and one of the things we often don't bring awareness to enough here in the West, is breathing. Now, some of you listening to this show are probably people who do work in consciousness expansion or yoga, but there's probably a lot of people who are listening who might not, and you might not have ever really stopped to bring consciousness to your breath, connecting your ability to breathe to the presence in the space that you're in. And that's a beautiful thing. When you can connect presence to breath and breath to body and body to space, you're creating this beautiful circuit that allows you to maintain presence. It brings you into that space of oneness that we often talk about. Yoga has the ability to do all these very powerful things when we allow it. But first, you have to allow yourself to get on your mat. I hate when people say, I'm not flexible enough for yoga. Or they say, you know, yoga is only for people who are super fit and this, that, and the other. There's lots of excuses we can use to get us out of the doing. But it's so important for us to not let our limitations become beliefs that keep us from ever trying. And yes, it's going to be difficult. Anything new that we do brings challenge. And that's a beautiful thing. Because if you don't start, how will you know? And I love the phrase, if not now, when? And if not you, who? And we often keep ourselves back from greatness because of the fear we have of what will change. And it's important to embrace the beautiful changes that arise when we step a little closer to our fear. And this is a really great quote from Marianne Williamson that I'll read now that I just really love, and I think it speaks to this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond all measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates us. And that's something that yoga has the deep ability to do. And it's a very powerful thing when we are able to do that. So when we are able to do that and we're able to step into that place of deep awareness, we're able to really expand ourselves into a place of understanding. You know, we come to the edges of our fear, and our fear can become a doorway that takes us into places of discovery. And it's so important to discover new and beautiful things about ourselves. And I often find that the postures that seem the most challenging are the ones that are the most rewarding. And for some people, just touching their toes could be the absolute ultimate challenge. So, but just think, after 200,000, 300,000, 450,000 classes, right? You touch your toes that very first time. You're like, wow, how awesome. I touched my toes. And there are sometimes these limiting beliefs that keep us from even touching our toes. But we get into the class and all of a sudden we're not thinking about not being able to touch our toes, and all of a sudden we're touching our toes. I was talking to a student today in class, and I was mentioning, you know, how when I'm in front of class teaching, sometimes I can do things when I'm teaching that I can't do when I'm taking a class, because my mind is so much more free when I'm a teacher than when I'm a student sometimes. So, you know, it shows how sometimes our beliefs can actually limit how we come into the body, but also how we come into some of these yoga postures. So the idea is to come into class without any expectation and just come in to do the work, you know, the best that you can. We do it with deep love. We do it with deep awareness that within us there is this greatness. And it's your birthright. It's your birthright to connect to that greatness. So don't be afraid to take a step in the direction of love. And yoga is a prayer from the body to the body, placed on the altar of your soul. Beautiful. It's an act of love. Yoga is an act of devotion. And when you allow your practice to be an act of devotion, miracles can happen. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a devotion to some supreme deity. It might be. It doesn't have to be. Yoga can be this very beautiful, organic thing that becomes an act of devotion just for life itself. Yoga is very intimate. It's breathing. Yoga allows us to be intimate with ourselves. When you are in a yoga class and you're sweating and you're breathing and you're twisting into positions that you never thought you could, and you're seeing parts of your body you don't often see. There are some postures that bring you into contact with your ankle or your feet. There are some postures that make you touch parts of the body that you normally wouldn't. You know, and that's beautiful because you are in that moment becoming intimate with yourself. And there's a deep level of intimacy that runs through yoga that you can then extend out to the spaces around you. And I think that's one of the reasons why people resist practice, is because we are so afraid of intimacy. We don't know what that is anymore. And intimacy is this vibrant, beautiful, dynamic, sometimes terrifying vulnerability that flows through touch, that flows through sound, that flows through dialogue, that flows through just the very act of showing up to our processes. And it's not easy to maintain consistent practice, but it's something that we need to do. And we need to do with frequency. So yoga is something that we want to show up to as often as we can. you want to do a practice that's consistent. So you want to do, like, if you're setting your goal to do 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday are my yoga days, commit to your practice. One of the things we don't do enough of in spiritual practice is commitment. We have to have commitment in our practice, because commitment builds connection, which builds momentum, which creates change. And you're not going to see positive impact from practice if you don't have consistency. People often give up on meditation because you're not seeing the quieting of the mind. Well, if you give up on your practice, of course you're not going to get the results. People give up the first few weeks of yoga because they haven't seen any big change in their flexibility. Well, it takes, about 4 weeks for you to really settle into a new workout routine. When I was doing personal training, people get so frustrated because they're not seeing any changes in the first few weeks. And well, it can take up to 3-4 weeks for your body to start making changes. And more often than not, you are the last one to see the changes your body's making. You will lose weight. You will be more flexible. You'll do things you never thought you could do. But sometimes you don't even notice them, because you're so caught up in the illusion that you aren't experiencing change, that you won't see the changes you are making. Changes happen very subtly. But once they do, they continue. It's like a little snowball that happens, and it just expands and just rolls down the hill, and the changes get bigger and bigger and much more profound. But that's the beauty of practice. That's why it's called practice. Through our practice, we are opening and evolving the body. And it's through that practice that we are able to then take it from the sanctuary, that is the yoga room or the yoga mat, and into the other areas of our life. So that's where this integration comes in. I may be someone who drives a lot, and I may be noticing that now after doing all this yoga that my body doesn't hurt so much from sitting in a confined position for so long. I might notice then that after doing yoga that I breathe a lot better, or I don't get as sick as often, or that, it could be lots of things you start to notice. Very subtle things, but you won't get there until you actually start doing the practice. So look at what your resistance is to practice. What are you resisting when it comes to committing to a practice? And more importantly, a physical practice. What do you feel is limiting you from stepping onto the yoga mat? What keeps you from showing up to class? Is it monetary commitment? Is it the idea that you're not good enough? What beliefs can you set down for just a moment so that you can arrive in the space of practice? What beliefs can we take off the shelf just for a moment so that we can show up a little bit deeper to our practice? And yoga is a process of meditation. When we move the body, we are meditating through action. When we move the body, we are meditating through that space of connecting breath to the movement. And each yoga posture in itself is a meditation. It just requires you to listen to what is happening through the body as you're doing the postures. The postures will speak to you. Your body will also speak to you. And you'll also start to see things coming up in your consciousness as you do the practice. Like, you may be in down dog for a while, and all of a sudden you start seeing these flashes and images of certain things that just may be getting purged from the body. You may feel anger. You see it a lot when we do hamstrings or hip work. People get very angry because when we get into the tight areas, we're holding a lot of discontent, distress, anger comes up. It's just part of that thing. You know, my hamstrings are really tight. It frustrates me they're so tight. So that frustration, though, isn't me being frustrated at my hamstrings. It's me being frustrated at a limitation. And when I'm frustrated at limitation, I'm frustrated at all these other things that are also coming up. That maybe my hamstrings are just representing all these other things that are limiting factors for me. So you start to see how it's so important to come into deep connection to the body, because it is a way for you to go a little bit deeper into all the other stuff that you're probably holding yourself apart from. When you feel tightness in the body, what's the message that it's offering you in that space? What is your body telling you about the spaces you exist in? What is your body telling you needs to move so that you can have deeper connection and commitment to continued growth and expansion? It's a beautiful thing when you are able to truly listen to your body and enter into a space of deep intimacy with who you are when you let your walls down. And yoga is a process, an act of surrender. The minute you step into the mat, or if you take a yoga class, the minute you step into that class, you are engaging surrender, because you don't know what the instructor is going to do. Even if it's a class you've taken 1,000 times, that instructor that day could do something completely off the wall and different. That's what makes it surrender, because you're surrendering for just a moment to what this person is offering you. And as instructors, we're also surrendering to you, because we don't know what you're coming to the class with. You might be bringing something to the class that's new and unique. And you may, in that moment, shift the whole direction of the class. Sometimes people come in, they may not be feeling well, or they may have some body limitation in that moment. Like, there was a time when I sprained my ankle, and it really impacted how I did my practice. So I had to be more conscious of my ankle in the space of my practice. So it changed how I was teaching, because it impacted not only me, but it impacted how the class moved. And there's times when people will come in and they'll want to work on something specific, and then that will change the whole direction of where I was going to go. So it's this constant space of surrendering, as instructor surrendering to student, and as student allowing that space of surrender to happen so that you can be involved in the journey. And when we are moving through that space together, it's this very beautiful thing that happens. We are growing something together in that moment. And yoga also fosters community, because when you come to a class and you go with consistency, you begin to connect to the people who show up in that class. I've been taking a class here since I moved here, and it wasn't a class that I normally would take. It's a very, what I call, slow flow class, in that it's very gentle. There are moments where it picks up pace, and I love that. But it's taking classes that are much different. I teach a pretty energized form of yoga. And this class is beautiful in its pace. And a lot of people who take the class are a lot older than me, which is beautiful, because it means that I have to change my pace a bit. But these are also people I normally probably wouldn't have connected with if it had not been for this class. Because my tattoos tend to be something that shifts me from connecting to the older generation. But it's beautiful, because having gone for so long, and then, I go on trips a lot to D.C., and people will ask, like, where's Mike? We miss Mike. He's not in the class. So it's nice to know, like, when someone isn't there, like, people notice. And you do notice, because the same people come, and you create this sense of community together, and you create this thing that grows beautifully. And when you can grow it through the space of community, it's service. We always talk about being of service, and that's a beautiful space to be in together, the space of shared service. Service to one another. We're letting our barriers down enough so that we can share vulnerability so that we can open deeper to what needs our awareness and our presence. And that's one of the reasons why I love yoga so much. And it has a beautiful philosophy to it. I love working with the Hindu deities. There's just so many of them, and they, all the stories and the myths that are embedded, not just in the asana work that we do, but in the sacred mantras that we recite in class, or, you know, the little statues we put in front of the class. And I think sometimes we put these statues up and we don't really know what they mean. So it's important that if you are going to connect to deity or chant a sacred chant like Om or Om Shivaya Namaha or Om Namaha Shivaya, that you know like what you're saying. Like, you don't necessarily have to know exactly what you're saying, but you should know who you're saying it to. Like, who are you offering this mantra to? Or Om Ganapate Namaha. We're chanting to Ganesha, the remover of obstacles. And we should know, like, if you're going to wear like a Hanuman shirt, you should know the story of Hanuman. And Hanuman's the monkey god. It's important. I see a lot of people wearing Oms and they have Om tattoos, and then I ask them, like, hey, what's that symbol mean? Oh, you know, I don't know. It's just a cool spiritual thing. And that's totally cool. Like, I totally get it. I totally get we want to put cool spiritual things in our bodies. But we should know. We should know the sacredness of that thing that we're connecting to. So if you're going to chant a mantra like Om, you know what it is that you're chanting. Don't be afraid to ask your instructors in class, say, hey, I know we do this Om thing, but what does it mean to do the Om at the beginning or the closing? What does it mean when we Om together? Like, what is that? Don't be afraid to ask questions in your classes, because when we ask questions, we go into a place of taking ownership of the practice. And taking ownership of the practice is important because you make it yours. And when you make it yours, you're more likely to stay committed to it. If you're doing somebody else's template, it's really hard to stay committed because you're not making it something that you want to show up to. So make it yours. Ask questions. The one day, I think last week, we had this new person come into our yoga class. And the instructor was being a class, was opening up. And she asked questions like every 5 minutes, which is causing a lot of frustration in the class. So you have all these people who've been taking yoga for a while, and they're all in there. She would ask 1,000 questions. And I was like, wow, this lady is beautiful, because she's teaching us what yoga really is. I would rather someone ask 1,000 questions to understand what their body's doing and how the posture works and what they're supposed to be feeling and where they're supposed to be feeling it, then sit there and in their mind say, this is a bunch of bullshit. You know, I'd rather them ask 1,000 questions. So she was a beautiful gift in that moment, because she taught us what it was like to be a beginner, to be someone who is receptive. And a lot of times those of us who've been practicing for a long time forget what it's like to be receptive. We forget what it's like to be a beginner. And that goes for a variety of things. I encourage people who are seasoned practitioners to go back and take classes that are fundamental or therapeutic or something that's completely opposite what you do. Or go back to the fundamentals of your own spiritual practice. You might be doing crazy 600-line mantra, but go back to the one that started it all for you. What was your first mantra? You may be able to touch your toes to your nose over your head and all this other stuff. You may be able to levitate off the mat, you know? But go back to the fundamentals, because it reminds you of what it's like to be a beginner. And try to be a student as often as possible. One thing that I love about yoga is that I can take other people's classes and I can learn how to be a beginner again, or I can learn how to be a student again. And when you get the student's perspective as a yoga teacher, it keeps you in the understanding of what your students are seeing and experiencing when they take your classes. I enjoy taking people's classes that are similar to mine because it lets me understand what my students are experiencing when they're in my class. Because it's the only way to really know. And I think we have to do that, no matter what our field of study is. We always want to try to be students as often as possible because learning never stops. And if you stop learning, you're not going to evolve. And if you don't evolve, then you can't evolve those who come to you for practice or study. So we have to be in a consistent place of bettering ourselves so that we can provide better service to those we are connecting to. As a yoga instructor, one of the challenges we have is to maintain our personal practice because we get so busy teaching and you know, creating workshops and doing lessons and that we often forget that we have to nourish ourselves. It's that healer, heal thyself phrase that comes up pretty frequently. And we don't do enough of that. We don't do enough self-work. We don't give ourselves the chance to go take other people's classes. Or we only take other classes if we feel it's going to be something that, you know, creates more monetary gain for myself as a teacher. I want to do more workshops so I can teach my students new things so that I can make more money from my students. Versus, I'm going to take this class because I love yoga so much and I love myself so much. I'm just going to take this class because I just love yoga. And there's a difference in how we approach the intention of that. When we over commit to the business side of this stuff and don't commit enough to the personal practice side of it, we'll burn ourselves out because we're doing it with the expectation of result. And spiritual practice, when you really do it to that place of expectation, you're creating a lot of limitation for yourself. When we really commit to our own practice and we evolve and we learn what the asana are saying to us and we learn what the meditation is doing in us, and you personalize and make it your own practice, that's what we can offer to our students. And we grow organically this very beautiful, unique template that we can then show others with the hopes that our template will ignite within them the ability to create their own template. And then they'll continue to grow and continue the work. And it's beautiful because I've seen a lot of my former yoga students become yoga teachers. And a lot of them, you know, they were taking my classes when they were first getting into yoga. And it's beautiful now. They're teaching. And it's like the fire was passed on. And now they're also passing it on to others. And they'll inspire people who want to become yoga teachers. And those people will do the same. So it becomes this very beautiful lineage that happens without it necessarily being like a formalized lineage. It's just beautiful. We inspire. And you don't know when we do this work, sometimes we just don't know who we're impacting or inspiring or what will happen through the fruits of this labor. But we just have to hope that, you know, that just by doing it and loving it, that people will feel that. If you go to a class or you partake in a workshop of someone who's not really doing it because they love it, you can feel it. You can feel when someone's not there in an authentic and genuine way. When you fully experience the ability to show up through a place of deep love, then you can do so much more. You know, when you're able to really commit to that, you can see really amazing things happen. And it's through that place of loving what you do that you can create that expansion for yourself. But if you're finding yourself not loving your practice, you're finding yourself falling away from it, take a step back consciously and say, okay, what can I do to fall in love with this work again? And it may mean just shaking it all up. It may mean taking a new class or a new workshop. It may mean going right back to basics. And for me, that's what I do quite often. If I find like I'm in a place where things are stagnant, I go back to the basics of my practice. Because at that place of beginning, at that place of where I started my practice, is usually where I find the nuggets that need a little extra watering. If you try watering from that place of disconnection, you're just going to water the disconnect. Because it's usually something in there. So you have to go back a few steps sometimes. And sometimes it means starting all over again. Sometimes it means hitting the reset button. Coming back to a fresh slate and seeing what you need to cultivate. But it's an important thing for us to do, no matter what our spiritual work is, or no matter what we do in this space of spirituality, your processes, your tools, your techniques. You have to ask yourself, like, why do I love this? And what do I love about it? It's okay to ask those questions. And it's okay to evolve and change if you get to a point where you're just not loving it anymore. Evolve it. Add some new flavors to it. If you're finding that your meditation practice is becoming stagnant, you can change it. If you're finding that just sitting in silence is not doing it for you, try guided meditations for a while. Try a different technique, breathing. Try movement. Doesn't mean you're letting go of what you're doing. It just means you're adding a little flavor. Seeing if there's any evolution. You may find that what you were doing was good enough. But I do find that oftentimes, those points where we get to the point of discontent is usually where radical change is about to happen for us. So don't give up. If you feel like stuff is like you're hitting the wall, it's great because by hitting the wall, you'll break through it. It's like, great, you found the wall. So allow yourself to hit the wall a few times. That's where the transformation is going to take place. When things feel like you just can't go any further, are typically where the biggest, most beautiful transformations happen. And that's something that yoga also teaches us. If you hold a posture for a long time, your body's shaking and you're sweating and you're breathing a little bit differently, and like the body's like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. At that moment, you go two or three more breaths and you push through just for a couple more seconds. And that's where the transformation begins to happen for you. So you're running that marathon. And you get to the point where, like, I can't run one more step. You're like, okay, I'm just going to go, like, a quarter mile more. I'm going to go, like, 10 more steps. You're like, well, shit, 10 more steps wasn't that bad. I'm going to go 10 more steps. And then you just keep adding on, you know. Just go a little bit deeper. When you feel the most challenged by your practice, it's usually when the biggest transformations are about to happen. So let your practice challenge you some. Let your practice offer you a space of growth. And ask yourself, what am I practicing for? Why am I doing yoga? And it's okay if it's to beautify the body a bit. It's okay if you have some of those ideas coming into it. But go deeper than that. Like, why are you really taking yoga? What do you hope to transform within yourself through the practice? Are you carrying anger? Do you hope to free up some of that anger from the body? Do you hope just to touch your toes? You know, it's okay to have goals. And there's a difference between goals and expectations. And goals allow us to move freely in the direction of the goal. Expectation is a make or break. If I don't get this, then the practice was for naught. Like, if I don't touch my toes, then I'm if the expectation is I'm going to touch my toes, if I don't touch my toes, the whole practice was a failure. So when we mean we say let go of expectation is, yes, your goal may be to touch your toes, and you might not quite be there, but you're breathing better, you've lost a lot of weight, and you have gained some flexibility in your spine. You're just not quite there at the toe touch place yet, but it's coming. You're on the right road. So now you're noticing all the other powerful changes, and toe touching is just a goal. It's not the expectation. But none of that happens until you do the most powerful spiritual tool, and that's show up. And for those of you that showed up tonight, I appreciate you showing up with me on this beautiful journey called Soul Empowerment Radio. And yeah, so we're going to wrap it up here tonight. And usually I just talk until I'm just kind of like spirit has nothing else to say. And we've arrived at that point now. So I appreciate all of you for joining me. Those of you who listen on the download, thank you for downloading the show and listening to us on your iPods and your cell phones or wherever else you're listening to us from. And as always, we are here for you. I try to do shows pretty consistently through the week. I'm getting ready to travel next week, so we'll be doing shows next week. So we'll be on a little bit of a break. You can listen to some of the archive shows, so go listen to some of those. Get on your mat, do some yoga practice. Now, if you wanted to start a yoga practice but you're not quite sure where to begin because there's a lot of different yoga stuff out there, feel free to email me at michael@michaelbrazel.com. We can talk a little bit about where you are within your practice and in your body, and I can always make recommendations for you for where to begin. If you're in the Columbia, South Carolina area, I teach at Bloom Healing Arts Studio here in Columbia. And I teach Vinyasa yoga class. It's a flow-based yoga class that offers a bit of a challenge. I don't do, people tell me my classes are challenging, but, you know, I don't do, like, levels like that. You know, we just kind of show them we do. We just kind of do yoga. And sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's not so challenging. And sometimes the things we assume are challenging really aren't as challenging as we thought they were. So, you know, if you're in the Columbia area, come take one of my classes. I also teach a bhakti meditation class, and I do meditation around the calendar also. So just find me. Find me here. Find me anywhere. Meet up with me if you're in the D.C. area. Meet up with me in D.C., and we'll do yoga there. Right? Lots of ways to get into our yoga practice. And as we go forward, I'll be doing episodes on specific parts of yogic philosophy. We're talking about specific yogic deities as we go forward, because yoga is a big part of my personal practice, and it's one that I want to share with all of you and invite you on the journey. So we'll be doing readings and stuff on the show, you know, moving forward. We haven't had a lot of callers calling in for readings and stuff, which is fine, because, you know, I like using these shows to create a platform for discussion and just dialogue. So I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. It's always a beautiful blessing to be able to share this space with you. Remember, I love you, each and every one of you. Monday, I have Susan Zumo joining me on the show. So Monday will be our next episode. I might do a meditation show over the weekend. We'll see. You know, if it pops up, it pops up. We'll let you know. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/mbrazel. That's MBRAZELL. Go to my website, michaelbrazel.com, my blog, soulinteraction.com. Schedule sessions with me. Reach out, say hi. If you do friend me on Facebook from the show, let me know. I don't often accept requests from people I don't know. So if you don't have any mutual friends, I probably won't accept your request unless you email me or message me and say, hey, I'm from the radio show. Please add me, and I'll add you. Have a beautiful, wonderful night, my friends. Namaste.